So today in the studio we have Joe Hall, who's come to talk to us about the Bristol Laughter Club.
Fantastic,
really.
Thank you.
Interested in that. Tell me more.
Bristol Laughter Club, it was set up just over 10 years ago now. And it was set up on the back of a visit to the UK by Dr. Madan Kataria, who is the founder. It was originally set up as Laughter Clubs, then his work is now branded as Laughter Yoga. He was in Bristol in 2003. But when he was over, I was chatting to him about it, because I was already sort of running laughter workshops, and I'd met him the year before and sort of trained with him in laughter yoga, and was talking about how to make these sort of sessions more regular and give them a kind of sort of status. He said, well, why not call them the Bristol Laughter Club? That was that. And they now are the longest running series of regular laughter and laughter yoga workshops outside India. Here in this studio, right here this evening, is a little piece of history.
So what happens in a typical Bristol Laughter workshop?
It was based very much originally on laughter yoga. It's a series of exercises to promote the health and well-being benefits of laughter. And it originated in India. It originated with Dr. Kataria in Mumbai in 1995 on the 20th of March, 4 a.m. in the morning. He woke up because he was a cardiologist. He was researching the health benefits of laughter as part of a newsletter that he edited. What happened at 4 a.m. that morning was he suddenly realized that actually as a GP, he'd be more than half the time he would be better off prescribing people daily dose of laughter than actually giving them prescriptions. And he realised that the benefit is in the laughing. And so he then started to devise various exercises just to foster and encourage the practice of laughing. And with willingness, you can do sort of fake laughter as a way of inducing real laughter. And it's all about sort of playfulness and giving yourself permission to enjoy and that kind of thing.
So it puts you in a good mood, it puts you in a more joyful, positive frame of mind.
Well, it's great to do it. Okay, well, when you laugh, right, you give yourself a cardiovascular workout, so your heart pumps faster, right, so the blood goes around your body better, so your circulation improves. Your breathing changes, your breathing deepens, you expel much more sort of stale air from your lungs, so your blood and becomes much more so oxygenated, so it's energizing. That's why Patch Adams, he is an American GP, and he's set up this sort of institute, the Gesundheit Institute, and he goes round with his funny nose and his clown hat to make patients laugh, because it's a way of taking exercise even if you're bedbound. The blood pumps round better, and it's more oxygenated. You get the endorphin effect. Right, so you start producing mass of your own sort of natural body morphine. You get an abdominal workout, and they've now shown that it can help conditions like type 2 diabetes, and some research recently that came out of Oxford about sort of the last year or the year before. So the list of physical benefits is very long and getting longer all the time.
It's also an emotional release, isn't it? I mean, I would think it contradicts any fears and anxieties. If you can laugh, you can release some of that anxiety, can't you?
Absolutely.
People who suffer from that.
It's a great confidence booster. A quote from the late Victor Borger that a laugh is the shortest distance between two people. It's a really good way of connecting and communicating. When you laugh in a good-natured kind of way, because it's all about sort of laughing with, not laughing at, when you laugh in that kind of way, it's connecting. So people actually sort of communicate better, because the kinds of feelings it generates, you feel good. Feel good about, oh my God, I feel good about myself, you know, I feel good about other people. Yes, so it does. It's a big emotional stimulant in a positive way.
Do you think that's why comedy clubs are so popular in this country?
Yes, all these things tend to be incredibly popular, particularly in recessions. Yeah, no, when life starts to get a bit tough, you know, then you need the kind of release. And for anybody who is interested in things like sort of laughter yoga, or my particular speciality is natural laughter skills, it's about sort of using laughter as a practice. In the same way as people might use sort of meditation as a practice or yoga as a practice, you can use sort of laughter as a practice, because basically it improves your health and well-being. Physical health, your emotional health, your psychological health. It's particularly sort of relevant when times are tough.
How much do you laugh every day? It's quite contagious, isn't it? I can find myself laughing already.
Basically, as much as possible. When I was really getting into this as a practice, I would laugh out loud as a regular morning practice. There's a whole thing about, you know, start your day well, and one way to start your day well is to laugh, because you feel good. And sometimes, though, early in the morning, or early-ish in the morning, though, when you get in front of the bathroom mirror, and you look at that face looking back at you, well, if that doesn't bring at least a smile to your face, then you're a really sad person, because, you know, who's that looking back at me?
Some people are very sad, aren't they, and they are very stuck in being depressed, and how would you help them?
You have to want to. As with all practices, it's horses for courses. Not every practice works for everyone. If you feel drawn to this kind of practice, then all you need to do is to do it with willingness. And one of the easiest exercises, because I wrote about it in the book, Awakening the Laughing Buddha Within, 8 chapters, and there's an exercise with each chapter. It all starts with a smile. And if you don't feel like smiling, simply grab a pen or a pencil or a toothbrush and just hold it in your teeth. Teeth, no lips. Your face is then in the facial position of a smile, and your brain doesn't know the difference in those circumstances between a fake smile and a real smile. So you start to get all the kind of neurological and biochemical changes happening in your system simply by having your face in the facial position of a smile.
That's incredible, isn't it? Literally changing your facial features and making your mouth go up at the ends. Will affect your brain.
Exactly. Wonderful quotes. Your day will go the way the corners of your mouth are going. So if your corners of your mouth are going up, your day will go up. And if your corners of your mouth are going down, your day will go down. And it's based on research that was done in 1988, you see. So the research has been around actually a very long time. But, you know, the way that these processes work, the research sort of happens, and then sort of bit by bit it kind of seeps into the kind of sort of public consciousness.
But we don't really need research, do we, to tell us that laughter makes us feel good? I mean, we all know that.
One of the other things the research shows is that people believe these things more when they're told them by someone wearing a white coat, right? Then it's an authority figure, right? Of course, intuitively, we have known all this stuff sort of for millennia, right? But in our culture, particularly sort of Western society, until someone in a white coat says this is a good thing, we don't believe it. But for those who are a bit more relaxed about sort of not necessarily believing everything that someone in a white coat says, of course we know that. You just ask someone how they feel when they laugh, because I often do in the start of a session, how it feel when you laugh. And the most general answer people give is, I feel better. Well, simply feeling better. You know, who doesn't want to feel better in life? No, we absolutely don't need the many white coats. However, you know, when there's evidence-based research, you know, that's the clincher. Oh, my God, laughing is good for you. Therefore, I'll do it.
So in terms of workshops, how do you get people laughing? Do you tell them jokes? Or?
Thank you. Really good question. No, this is absolutely nothing to do with jokes. You see, it's all to do with willingness. This session should be filmed, actually, because there's a lot of, sort of silent laughter going on.
I know, I'm trying not to laugh out loud, but it is contagious.
When we give ourselves permission to enjoy, and permission to be a little bit lighthearted, and permission to be playful, then it's been sort of quite clear to me that the natural laughter inside us just bubbles up, because it's connected with joyfulness. It's connected with the kind of sort of a natural reservoir of happiness that we all have inside us somewhere. You hardly actually have to do anything sometimes. Just watching people giving themselves permission to enjoy being here, enjoy just sort of maybe a few little sort of physical moves, it all just kicks off. Fortunately, the many white coats are coming up with just more and more evidence that actually, apart from very few specific scenarios, we actually perform better when we are open-hearted and playful and light-hearted, because all our functions work better. We are physically better. We are emotionally more fluid. We can sort of respond to situations better. We think better. We communicate better.
I mean, that's so obviously right, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Obviously right.
Yes.
Yeah. So are there any cultures in the world which laugh more than us or less than us?
When Dr. Kataria was over here in 2003, he said he found the UK at that time the toughest nut to crack.
You can get that, can't you?
The stronger the Puritan ethic, right, then the stronger the initial sort of barrier there is between, you know, to get people to laugh. But also when they do, they tend to then totally go for it.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me today and laughing with me today.
Pleasure.
Great. How many minutes was that?